Welcome to Jaguars Thursday. Former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli bring you expert insight and analysis of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Now to get things started, here's the host of Jaguars Thursday, J.P. Shadrick.
Welcome in, J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman. We'll get to Tony Baselli from Lambeau coming up. Jaguars Thursday, the Jags and the Jets coming up this Sunday at 1 o'clock, a week after London. Big game, at least in my opinion, to really make the London game a home field advantage. You not only have to win the London game, you're going to have to come back and play the week after and play well and win the game after. If this is going to be a true home field trip game advantage for the whole thing.
No, you know, you're right. And here's my opinion on it, because, look, you had a great game, but you don't want to diminish, you know, any of the shine off of the win in London by going to New York and losing to the
Jets.
Right. And why I say that is that I don't think the Jets are a very good football team. I don't. You know, I know that, look, it was kind of cool or chic amongst all the national guys to criticize the Jets. But here's the reality. It's warranted. I mean, they're an organization that's been trying to find a quarterback. They haven't been able to get one. I mean, they've tried in so many different ways, and now they've got a journeyman quarterback. And what do we call him? A stopgap quarterback?
Sure.
JP, thank
yes.
you for the term.
That's right.
And they have really torn down their roster, have gotten rid of a lot of players that could have helped them in order to rebuild. You know, I think it's Mike McCagan, the general manager. Look, he's been not shy at all in that they're rebuilding. And so with an organization that is in that mode, I think you should win. I flat out think that this should be a game that you win. Their offense has a lot of question marks, journeyman quarterback. Their defense has a couple really good players on it, and they have the ability to play well. But, you know, and I know Doug Marrone is going to compliment them and say good things about them, because that's what you have to do as an opponent. But I think that they've got some weaknesses on defense. I don't think they're very good on the perimeter. So it's a winnable game in my mind.
Let's go to the third member of our team tonight in Green Bay, Wisconsin, from Lambeau Field. I'm sure he took the nonstop from Heathrow to Appleton, Tony Baselli.
Yes, I have not been home yet. So here in beautiful Green Bay. I'll tell you what, I'm glad the Thursday night game here is early and not late, because you could not have a better night for football than right here in
Lambeau.
What's
the temperature?
Field. It's probably a kickoff. It'll be high 50s, low 60s.
Oh, beautiful. It's
perfect.
Come on.
I mean, it's just beautiful.
The tank top.
Oh, might wear, you know, shorts, tank top. I mean, little flip-flops around. It's nice.
Yeah, that's fantastic. When did you get into Green Bay?
I got in yesterday.
All right,
Green Bay yesterday.
So you've had some time to hang around Green Bay, which, you know, look, it doesn't take long to hang around Green Bay.
No, I've done the whole tour.
Okay, so look, I mean, this is a historic matchup. I mean, the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears at Lambeau. What's the feel around town with the Bears coming off a big win last week?
Well, it's almost, you got a sense it's a little bit nervous for the Packers, even though. I mean, they should be favored just because of Aaron Rodgers, and I don't want to get too much into it just because we talk Jags, but watching that game last week where Aaron Rodgers brought the Green Bay Packers back against the Cincinnati Bengals was one of the – I mean, the guy's amazing. I mean, they have so many injuries. They're on their, I think, fifth and sixth tackles. That's how many guys have gotten hurt.
Wow.
And he just finds ways to win ball games, and then you watch the – Bears, they won a football game against the Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger was terrible. And the Bears did a grind it out, run the ball over 220 yards, only had a little over 86 yards passing. So it was a, you know, kind of an ugly football game. So what does that mean for tonight? Well, you're in Green Bay. They are literally tied. I believe that the statistic is 194 versus 194, 194, and six ties. That's the
wow.
record between these two teams. And the point differential is like a difference of 7 total points.
In those number of games, wow.
That's incredible. Really is. We'll get more into that game coming up. We'll pick some games around the NFL. You guys were terrible last week again. We'll
thank you very
do
much.
That a little later tonight. So
was I bad?
You're pretty bad, Tony.
Ooh,
yeah,
that's not good.
That's all right, Tony. Don't feel bad. I've been bad for a couple weeks now.
Well, I didn't. Well, Joe picked for me, so I'll blame him.
Right, he sure did. You'll blame him very soon. So the discussion we were having going in, you got to kind of figure out coming off the London game how to win the week after. First time you played a game a week after that, but Tony, this is also a game where if you're going to be a team on the rise in the NFL, you have to win games you're supposed to win, and this is a game you're supposed to win in New York this week.
Well, yeah, and I don't know about you guys, but week after London, does that matter? I mean,
it doesn't.
You guys got home at 1:32 in the morning,
right?
Big deal.
Yeah.
What's the difference of that in a West Coast game? I mean, it's not that. It's not that bad. I mean, go out and play football. You have Tuesday off. That should not even be in their minds, and I don't think it is, by the way. And I heard Jeff before I came on. Jeff's right. You got to go win the football games you're supposed to win if you want to compete in the AFC South and for the playoffs come the end of this year. Then this is a game you must win because you're better than they are. And you don't, when you're in a building and a team that's ascending and trying to figure things out, and that's where the Jags still are. They're playing well, but the inconsistency is still there. I mean, we've seen that week to week to week so far these first 3 weeks. This is one of the things you have to do is win those games you're supposed to because there's not a lot of them. I mean, most of the time as the Jaguars go into games this year, it'll be a coin flip, or they'll be an underdog. So the ones that you're the favorite in, you got to win.
You know, it's interesting, Tony, that a New York sports writer, and I'm not exactly sure his name,
Manish Mehta from the Daily News.
Okay, Manish Mehta.
Mehta.
Yeah. Okay, wrote a article that was very Woody Page-esque, I guess you could say. And the point of the story basically was that this is a game that the Jets should win. The lowly Jaguars are coming to New York. They've got a terrible quarterback and a terrible football team, and they haven't won hardly anything, and this is one the Jets should win. So I don't know what he is looking at as far as his own team. But, I mean, how can you say the Jets are supposed to be anybody? But here's the reality. Can we really say that about this Jaguars team? They should win. But at the beginning of the season, Tony, we would have said this team shouldn't beat anybody, you know, expecting them to win every week. But right now, the way they've been playing, going to New York to play this team in New York, this is one they should get, right?
You would think so.
Yeah,
yes,
but I mean, the best part about the week is that writer wrote it. And so,
and what is he thinking?
No, it's the best thing in the world, though, because you know what? I mean, look, that's just more ammunition in the motivation bucket. You know, that's a good thing.
You want to hear the lead?
Yeah, I do. To hear this.
So the title is Jaguars quarterback Blake Bortles stinks, but can Jets beat him on Sunday?
Okay, and remember, he does not write that headline, but
here's the lead, the first sentence of the article. No matter how many losses ultimately pile up, the rebuilding/reloading/re-whatevering Jets simply cannot afford to fall to Blake freaking Bortles and Amos Alonzo Marone on Sunday.
Ooh.
Wow.
Oh, not only a shot at the quarterback, but a shot at the coach.
And then it goes on.
I kind of like that. That's pretty funny, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, I like it in the sense of I like the fact that they're stirring it up and getting guys going a little bit. How great is that?
I got a question. What did he call Doug Marone again?
Amos Alonzo Marone.
Okay. who is Amos Alonzo?
Amos Alonzo Stagg, the great college coach who had the record before
coach.
Bear Bryant.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure, because there's a lot of people are going, Amos who? Who's he?
Fantastic. Maybe it'll work. We'll see.
Hey, look, if it works, it works. But
Jeff, you said it. This is a game you don't need that. This is a game you're supposed to win. I mean, you should walk into that stadium if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars and say, we're here to win a football game, and you can't do anything about it, New York Jets. Yep. We're going to play good. We're going to run the ball. We're going to play physical. We're going to beat the heck out of you when our defense is on the field, and we're going to play smart special teams. And guess what? We're going to beat you by 10 at least. And if you don't like it, then come stop us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there has to be a little bit of that swagger. Like, this is our game. We're winning.
Well, the only thing I think, a strength of the Jets, look, they did play really well against the Miami Dolphins last week. But the reality is, you know, when they allowed them only 30 yards rushing, which is, look, if you hold the Jaguars to that, trouble is coming, right? But in the first two games, the Jets allowed like 340-something yards rushing. So it's not like that this has been a consistent defense all along, and they've got an ailing defense somewhat. Muhammad Wilkerson's got some injury issues, you know, so look, and he's a big part of why they have been able to stop the run. But I want to say this, Tony. They have some really good players on defense. Leonard Williams, who's, look, he's your guy. He's an SC guy. We loved him coming out of college.
Well, I loved him. You liked him.
I liked him. I had some questions about, you know, playing what they were going to ask him to do. But DeMario Davis, who they got back in a trade with Cleveland, he was with them, with the Jets for a while, went to Cleveland for a year, came back. DeMario Davis is a fantastic player. And Jamal Adams, their sixth overall pick in the draft from LSU. I mean, those are three really good football players, really good football players.
So the Jags and the Jets coming up Sunday. You know, on the other side, Tony, this defense, they're on a roll right now, obviously. The second half of the Titans game, the only real misstep, they had short fields and all that. We know the story there. But they come back last week with three takeaways. They had five three and outs they forced in the first half against Baltimore last week. They're playing it. They're one of the best defenses in the NFL right now. We knew they were going to be good. Okay, are they that good?
Hold on.
Are they that good?
Hold on.
Okay.
They are talented,
okay,
and they've played 10 and a half quarters of great football. But if you want to be considered great, you don't get to take a quarter and a half off and give up 31 in the second half.
Excellent point.
And so, no, I'm not ready to call that. I think they have great players, and they have the potential to be great. But I hope that sticks in their crawl and they remember that those last, you know, 25 minutes or whatever it was of game clock against the Tennessee Titans when they got embarrassed. And because if they come out and play with an edge and they play the way they did every other quarter outside of that back half against Tennessee, then yes, we'll sit here in December and say this is a great defense. But you can't say that yet because only after three games, you still have a half a game that wasn't very good.
No, and you haven't played an accomplished offense yet.
Well, how about more than that, Jeff? I mean, I agree with you, but how about a franchise quarterback? Because I think the Titans are a good offense.
Yeah, they're good offense. Absolutely.
But you have not played the man yet.
No. I mean, you know, I don't know how many men are on the schedule. I mean, I'm looking at the schedule right now. Pittsburgh. Okay, they got a good one now.
They got a man.
The Rams, young quarterback.
No, the Rams, no.
The Colts, who's playing? Okay. Cincinnati, question mark, right?
No, it's not. I've
Andy Dalton is not playing well. The L.A. No. Chargers.
Philip Rivers. Yes, okay, they do. At least against us, he is every
They're
time.
Not playing well right now.
Cleveland, every time we play him, he finds a way to throw for
yes,
like 90% completion percentage and 500 yards.
Cleveland Browns have a young player that is struggling in DeShone Kizer. The Arizona Cardinals veteran guy.
Playing really good football. Bruce Arians said some of the best football he's played in 3 years.
And then you got the Colts again. Talked about them. Seattle.
Russell, yeah.
Been around a little bit. Houston, San Francisco, Tennessee. But that's maybe the best part.
So you calling like 12 wins, 10, 11, 12 wins?
No, I'm not saying that.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Now, I did lock it last week.
Yeah, you did. No. You didn't lock it. You guaranteed it.
Oh, I didn't lock it. I guaranteed it. That's right.
It was a guarantee, not a lock.
It wasn't a lock. I did guarantee that. And I think this is – I reserve the locks for only a few times a year, but
– You're only allowed two.
This is a lock.
This is one of the two. Okay.
This is a lock. I mean, lock it up. I mean, I don't even know what the spread is, but if I don't know if we're even allowed to talk about that, but it's a lock all the way around.
Three and a half, we're told.
John Osher just walked in and wanted to know if you wrote that in your prediction for the week.
Yes, tell him the prediction will be here tomorrow after I get done with this game, John.
We'll pass it along. Let's come back and get into Blake a little more. What a game it was last week. But where are some things he can improve moving ahead here going into week four? Check out Jack Kennedy's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Hey, I just make sure I get on my same routine. I had a routine when we were in London and I throughout the season, so I keep that same routine. I get up in here on Mondays, hop to the cold tub, make sure my body's all good, and then I get ready for practice. And unfortunately, we were able to sleep on a plane, so we're not really jet lagged like that. We just got to get back after it.
Barry Church, Jaguars safety earlier this week. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Vasselli, Jaguars Thursday. I get in the cold tub, too. That's
you
how
do?
I recover.
Yeah, that's a really pleasant thought.
Thanks, J.P. You know, I was doing pretty good until you gave me that mental image there.
I mean, that's what I do, man. Stay in shape. You know, that's what happens. Yeah.
It's working for you, too, J.P. I can tell you that.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, I know. Yeah,
it's really working.
Yeah, I'm walking around great afterwards.
That's my Rodney Dangerfield. Yeah, it's really working for you there, J.P.
Blake Bortles, you know, Tony, we're talking on the Doug Marrone show about his day last week. I think just looking at it, it's the best game of his career in a game that really means a lot, right? I mean, it got his team to 2-1. He may not have had the best rating in his career. It's the second best. But it's got to be right there. I mean, what he did in London, and how does he back that up now going into week four?
Well, the way he backs it up is being consistent. I mean, that's the problem. And we had a call on Monday night on the show with me and Pete. And, JP, and you remember, I can't remember the guy's name, but he was says, how can I believe? His question was, how can I believe in Blake Bortles moving forward? And the answer was, well, I don't think you can yet. We want to. We're all rooting for Blake. But one game does not make a quarterback. One game doesn't make any player. And to be considered a franchise quarterback or be considered a strong starter at any position, you got to do it week after week after week. I'm not saying he has to have 125 quarterback rating or whatever he had, but you want a quarterback rating of 90 plus. That's what you want. And if he needs to come out, and whatever he did last week, preparation-wise, do it again because he was ready to play. He was accurate. I only saw, Jeff, I don't know about you, I think one inaccurate throw is that back shoulder throw to Marquise Lee. It was a little inside. If he throws it outside, it's probably a completion. Got knocked away. But every quarterback in the league is inconsistent. I mean, it isn't perfect as far as being accurate every game, every throw.
No, that one throw, though, to Marquise, though, Marquise could have done a better job to help.
He could have done a better job, but you know what I'm saying. It was a little bit inside. If he throws it outside, it's probably a completion.
Yep.
But outside of that, he was outstanding. Outstanding. So whatever he did to get ready, he needs to do it again. And make what you want to do. You know, I was thinking about this watching the game, every game I watch the Jaguars. And, Jeff, I don't know if you're like me, but every time we line up for an extra point, isn't there a little pit in your stomach about Jason Myers making it?
Yeah.
And so
– Let me tell you this real quick, Tony, because, you know, when we're doing the radio broadcast – you know, I scribble notes, and I've got my notes from this past game right here in front of me. Tell me, you know what I write down? I write down number of plays, the length of the drive, big plays, the score, what it's going to be. So I'm making notes. And most of the time in a game, when it's an extra point, I don't watch because I'm busy scribbling notes. I'll look up just, you know, real quickly. But with Jason Myers, you're right. I wait to write my notes until after the extra point kick.
And so I'm saying that not to take a shot at Jason Myers, but to relate it to Blake Bortles. You want to go into a game where there's no pit in your stomach and you're not wondering what Blake you're going to get. And the only way that happens is you got to string about five or six of these together. Again, not at 120 plus, but just consistent football. I'm not even saying you have to win every one of them. But you just got to play smart, good football at that quarterback position because you want to go in as with the attitude of confidence that guy is taken care of. Not that he's going to be perfect. I mean, every quarterback has bad games. But the overall feeling of the organization is we got our guy. And when you can have that, I think it changes how you approach everything in the entire franchise.
By the way, Tony, the caller on Monday night was named DJ. So thanks for remembering.
Yep. Sorry. I remembered his call. Yeah. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, got it right here. That was on Monday night. The offensive line, Tony, has allowed two sacks this year. Two in three games.
Remember the preseason? I mean, Jeff and I, we look at each other walking in the hallway.
Sky's
falling.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's over.
Who's playing guard today?
Who's playing guard? Oh, we're no good. Oh, my gosh. I mean, talking. And I give them credit.
Yeah.
I mean, I give them credit, man. They're playing good football.
I give credit to the two guys that we're really talking about, which is Patrick Omame and A.J. Kim. And we're not saying it's been perfect, but much better.
It's been winning football.
Much better than we anticipated. And Tony's right, it's been winning football. The one, though, that I think really has really stood out has been Cam Robinson, Tony. And I know you have a little bit tougher grading scale on left tackles than maybe I do. But the job he's been able to do to face some of the players that he's faced in the first three games and last week facing Terrell Suggs, who the week before had a really good performance, and he still got it as a football player. I thought he was very solid.
Well, I said Monday night, Jeff, Cam Robinson has the opportunity to be a great left tackle. I'm not saying he is. He has the opportunity. He's that good. He's that talented. Now, the question is he going to be a pro and work on his craft to become great? Or will he be satisfied with just being good? Because that's how the type of player that he is. He has the ability to be dominating. I wasn't worried going into the game with Terrell Suggs, because if you try to power rush with Cam Robinson and have no speed to counter it, it's not going to work. He is a type of player that if you are a one-dimensional rusher and you don't have counters, and that's why I was worried about Arakpo the week before a little bit more, because Arakpo still is a crafty rusher who has speed and power in the hand slap, and if you have good technique, you'll be fine against Arakpo. But one of the things Cam Robinson still struggles with a little bit, he turns a little bit early on his pass sets on wide rushers and gets a little bit top-heavy just every once in a while.
I'm trying.
But if he starts cleaning those things up just a little bit and keeps on working on them, Jeff, he will be considered, I'll say it right now, if he's a pro and works on his craft, he'll be considered one of the best left tackles in the NFL during his career.
No, it's a pretty strong statement.
Yeah,
and he's been widely exceeded my expectations, certainly as a rookie. And, you know, what was the criticism that Nick Saban had for Cam Robinson? Wasn't it about playing against the big-time players,
that's
he would elevate
exactly
his level of play, but maybe, you know, sometimes he played down to the opponent? Well, this is one of those weeks, okay, that you want to see Cam Robinson not do what Nick Saban had talked about, because who's rushing over him in pass rush situations? Jordan Jenkins. Well, who's Jordan Jenkins? You know, who is Josh Martin? You know, these aren't named guys. These are not Terrell Suggs, Brian Arakpo, Jadeveon Clowney. I mean, so I think this is a challenge for him this week.
I actually got more nervous against the bad players, Jeff. I did.
Well, can you pass that nervous on to Cam?
No, I mean, I was nervous every game, but the going against a guy that wasn't very good or just average, I'm thinking, I got to be perfect. I mean, that was the expectation. When you're playing, I want to be perfect against great pass rushers too, but you understand it's a different mentality, a different challenge. And I say that because the mentality, if Cam Robinson wants to be what you're talking about, what I'm talking about, he needs to go in with tension every week and that little bit of uncomfortableness in your gut, knowing that the expectation isn't just to block the guy. The expectation is to be the best and to be perfect. And that's what he should be, because he's that talented. The kid is extremely talented. I mean, I enjoy watching him. He has a nastiness about him.
He really does.
He plays the game the way it should be played.
He finishes.
I love it, Jeff. And one thing, and Jeff said it earlier, I mean, I'll call it as I see it with the offensive line. And I'm telling you, he has some technique things he needs to clean up, but overall, man, he has been a lot of fun to watch.
Could Mercedes Lewis add about 50 pounds and become a tackle?
No, hold on. Before you go to the Mercedes Lewis, because everyone says how great he played this week because of all the touchdowns he caught.
Yeah.
I want to talk about why I think he played great. It wasn't the touchdown catches. But back to the offensive line real quick.
Okay.
We need to give Flatterly a lot of credit. I think he's doing a great job with that unit, the offensive line coach, Pat Flatterly, and also Tony Sperano Jr. Those two are doing an outstanding job. That unit is much better than it was last year. And it's good coaching. So hats off to them as well as the guys doing it.
Yeah, and Pat Flaherty is the offensive line coach. Tony Sperano Jr. is the assistant offensive line coach.
Right. Both guys are doing outstanding jobs. They're pros. They're great guys, great individuals, and they're very good coaches. And my hat's off to them.
So, sorry to jump the gun there, Tony, but Mercedes Lewis, 3 touchdown catches. That's the thing everybody sees in the highlight reel.
I don't care.
But you go back and put him on the end of the offensive line, and in a running offense, he looked like the Mercedes of old.
Yeah, I don't. When I say I don't care, obviously I care. It's great to watch him, you know. But I'm not expecting Mercedes Lewis to do that every week.
No.
Yeah.
So, but what was fun?
Tony, real quick before you go to the fun part, when the ball is in the air and it's on its way to Mercedes, okay, is it like watching Jason Myers on an extra point?
Maybe not that much of a pit, but there's kind a little of, bit of kind there's of a little that. Bit of. It's a little bit of like, uh-oh. But I'll give Mercedes, he high-pointed the ball. He did a great job. A little bit of stumbles afterwards at times, but my goodness, he's been in the league for 100 years. I mean, give him credit. But what I enjoyed watching him is the way he blocked. Probably 3 years ago and the previous 6 years or 7 years before that, he was the best blocking tight end in football.
I mean,
it wasn't close. And then, you know, you get older, things tail off a little bit. He was still good. He just wasn't great, let's say.
And he had a lot of injuries during that stretch you're talking about.
Yep. I mean, he was still good, but not great. He was, I mean, dominant. As good as I've ever maybe seen him, Jeff, blocking on Sunday.
Yep.
Whether it was the one-on-one blocks on the zone game, whether it was coming down on the gap schemes, on gap and counter. I mean, he was dominant. I was like, my goodness. What? I mean, I asked some of the guys in London. I said, hey, is there a fountain of youth in this city somewhere? Because if there is, I need to go wherever Mercedes is hanging out. I want to go hang out with him. Because
yep. It was the cold tub that JP was laying
in. Yeah, that's what
I guess.
Yeah, he learned from me.
Jeff, am I overstating this?
No,
was unbelievable. He was awesome.
Yeah, Mercedes has been fantastic. You know, a few mental errors here and there that he still needs to clean up, and he needs to become more consistent at catching the ball, and he was consistent in that game. But, I mean, you're right. You're not over-exaggerating. Mercedes is blocking as well as he has blocked when he was at his best, which is impressive, you know, because look, and here's the best thing. That's what this offense needs is a really good blocking tight end. And for him to be in his 12th year, to still be available, to still be able to do that is such good fortune for this football team. Because look, I mean, he's 200 and, they list him at 6'6", what, 280? He might be more than 280. He might be 285.
And all joking aside, if he really wanted to, he'd gain 30 more pounds. He could play tackle.
He could. He's the only guy that I have ever seen in the game that could block Dwight Freeney one-on-one. And that's looking at tackles, tight ends. What, and nobody could do it, but Mercedes used to just – he would beat him up. I mean, it was something to behold and to watch, and you're just going, how can this guy block Dwight Freeney one-on-one? But he did.
Hey, let's come back, and I'll look in my rearview mirror and see how far back you are in picks this season. You guys are
You've
way
been waiting
back
to say
there.
That line.
Way back in the back through 3 weeks. TRI Productions, the official event production company of the Jags, has everything you need to bring your next idea to life. Visit PRIProductions.com. We'll pick week 4 when we come back. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Boselli is at Lambeau Field, Green Bay for Thursday night football. The Jags and the Jets coming up Sunday. He'll be at MetLife Stadium. He took the old nonstop from Heathrow to Appleton, Wisconsin. He'll jump down to Newark a little later in the week. Hey, last week's results on the picks. I was 9-7, led the way. Tony, you via Joe Fortunato were 8-8. Loggeman, you were 8-8 as well.
Yeah.
So for the season,
yeah, I'm consistent, JP. That's the one thing I am.
Consistently average. Yeah. I'm leading the way for the season. 33-14 is my record. That's right.
What is Joe
33
Tony?
33-14. Joe / Baselli is 30-17. And Loggeman, you are the definition of average. 24-23.
Well, I'm on the winning side of things, and I'm gonna make a push now.
Barely. Tony, are you with us?
I'm here, baby.
How many? First off, before we make the picks, how many helpings of cheese curds have you eaten tonight?
Zero. After London boys, I'm on. Got to get a little bit healthier.
Now, the thing to do while in Green Bay, as JP has pointed out, is to eat cheese curds, but also to drink point beer.
I didn't have either of those.
You didn't do either.
I did. I did have a brat tonight, so that's my big splurge.
Did you eat at what's that famous restaurant there in Green Bay?
If it wasn't in the Radisson, I didn't eat it.
No, it's got the. it's the best steakhouse in Green Bay, Joe. We ate there. Come on, Joe. Where's your memory?
Vince Lombardi? Is it one of those? I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Lombardi's or...
Farbs? He has a restaurant.
No, it's not Farbs.
I'm just thinking of every pack.
He was playing, I think, you know, back when we were eating there. But it's kind of a sports-themed kind of restaurant. And it's known as the best steakhouse in all of Green Bay. Because
there's
your other
only two of them.
Yeah, your other option is you know, is like...
Put the Sizzler
Golden,
down the road.
Golden Corral or Sizzler.
It's okay. Yeah.
You know, this place is amazing, though. I know you guys have been here. JP, have you been here?
I have, yes, in 2012, yes.
So,
which,
I mean,
by the way, I like the buffet at Golden Corral and Sizzler. So
a couple things. One, you drive up to this place, and it's in a neighborhood. I mean, there's houses that cross the street. I mean, it's just a remarkable place in the history and everything else. And then two, which is always important to me, great food spread in the press box.
Yes.
I mean, outstanding.
Absolutely. That's where the cheese curds and all that come into play. So, let's get into the picks for week four.
Okay.
Starting with tonight's game, the Bears at 1-2, the Packers at 2-1, and
let me be first.
Yeah, go for it. Lyle.
Green Bay.
I'll take Green Bay as well at home. I know you're calling a game, Tony, but who do you like?
Yeah, I usually don't like to weigh in on these games since I don't want to be biased, but I'm going to go Green Bay.
But you will, and everybody's got Green Bay. Saints at the Dolphins, 1-2 Saints. The Dolphins at 1-1. I believe it's their first home game, right?
Tony, have you watched the Jets-Miami Dolphins film yet?
I have not. I'm going to watch it tomorrow.
Okay, when you do, you would not pick the Dolphins this week. Okay.
Yeah, I read some clips, and Adam Gase basically said they got their bleep.
Oh, my God. The
bleepity bleep.
Jay Cutler was terrible. So I'm taking New Orleans.
Home opener, a lot of emotion down in Miami. I'm still taking New Orleans.
Yeah, I think that's a Saints lock all the way across. Bills at the Falcons.
Falcons.
Atlanta, that's a clean sweep. Steelers, Ravens. Here we go. I'm going Steelers.
Where's it at? It's
in
Baltimore.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take the Steelers.
I'm going to take the Ravens.
Really?
I watched the Steelers. And
did you watch the Ravens?
I watched the Ravens. I watched the Steelers. They have issues on offense, and they got beat up in the run game against the Bears. So I think the Ravens come back and win at home.
Wow. I didn't think the Ravens were very good prior to the Jaguars game, and I still think the same thing.
The game of the week, the 0-3 Bengals and the 0-3 Browns in Cleveland. Who you got?
In Cleveland, right?
Yes.
You know what?
I'm going Bengals.
I'm taking the Bengals because I've seen Kaiser play.
I'm taking Bengals.
Cincinnati on the road for all of us. Rams, Cowboys. Dallas
In Dallas,
in
right?
In Dallas. I'll take
home. I'm taking Dallas.
Cowboys. Dallas.
So far, we've all picked the same game except for me, Baltimore, Pittsburgh. This is not very much fun, guys.
Titans at the Texans.
Titans.
JP?
I'm going to go Texans at home, and that'll put the Jags in first place alone when they win.
I'm going with you, JP.
Houston.
I'm taking Houston.
Houston.
So far, you guys have picked every game the same.
He's off my
sheet.
Well,
JP's winning.
I mean,
I'm going to win, I need to start picking like JP.
Yeah. Lions, Vikings. Both teams.
I'm taking the Lions.
On the road, are you?
Vikings.
Okay, I'm taking Minnesota at home with the noise. Yes.
And there's one I get on, y'all.
Panthers and the Patriots. New England for me.
Where is that game?
In New England.
Saints, who's it? New England what?
Panthers, Patriots.
In New England?
Yeah.
New England.
Okay, they don't have enough offense in Carolina to play
Tony,
with the
who
Patriots.
Got?
I said New England.
Oh, okay, good. 49ers at the Cardinals.
Cardinals.
Yep. Same for me.
Cardinals.
Yep. Eagles, Chargers.
At Chargers.
Yes.
I'm taking
Chargers.
The Chargers.
I'm going to go Eagles to get another one on you. They wanted a field goal. They're rolling right now. And they're going to win on the road in L.A. Giants, Buccaneers.
Buccaneers.
In Tampa.
Giants are
Bucks.
Terrible.
Okay, Tampa Bay all the way across. Raiders, Broncos, good game.
Broncos.
In Denver.
In Denver?
Yep.
I'm taking the Raiders.
Okay, Oakland, I'll take Denver. Sunday night, the Colts
and
the Seahawks.
There's another one I get on you guys.
Colts, Seahawks.
Colts can't beat anybody.
Nope.
Maybe
I bet you. I bet you the NBC crew is excited about that game.
Oh yeah, they're fired up.
Can't flex this early in the season.
Tony, how many Andrew Luck stories do you think they have ready to go for that game?
Boy,
he supposedly started practicing this week. Was that the word out of there?
Yeah, which is. I don't know. I don't know if that's ever been confirmed or not, but. That will be the focus of the broadcast when it comes to the Colts.
I will ask you, Tony, you're taking Seattle, I'm sure,
yes.
Right?
Who are you taking, JP?
Game? I'm taking Seattle.
Oh, chicken.
Yes.
Take the Colts.
You are a chicken.
Yes. Redskins, Chiefs on Monday Night Football.
At Kansas City?
Kansas
City.
That'd
be the Kansas City Chiefs for me.
Yeah, me too. Arrowhead.
I've already got two on you guys. I'll stick with Kansas City.
Okay, Kansas City. And then the Jags and the Jets.
Jaguars.
Everybody's going Jags on this.
I already locked it.
You locked it. It's locked in. The Jags are going to get this thing done.
That was really boring tonight.
Well, it's boring because I'm way out in front.
Here's the crazy thing, Tony. Last week when we're picking all these things, I mean, the best record on the picks was 9-7. I mean, it was like upset weekend last week.
Oh, yeah. I was brutal. I mean, I mean, Joe picked for me, but I was brutal. For Westwood One, I have to pick games every week.
Mm-hmm.
And I was bad.
Okay.
I was bad.
It's early. You can redeem yourself, Tony. Have a fantastic call of the game tonight, Tony.
I will, and I will see you guys Saturday. I'll see Jeff Saturday on the plane.
You got it. There you have it. Tony Baselli. From Lambeau Field, Green Bay, Wisconsin. He's got the call of Thursday Night Football
That's
on Westwood
place,
One Radio.
Man,
it really is. You walk in, you're walking across the concrete, and they got the plaque there, and you look up and all the retired numbers and the championships. And
they have their like Hall of Fame, Packers Hall of Fame right there attached to the stadium. I just remember the last time we were there, and if you'll remember right, Joe, it was freezing cold. And if you took a bottle of water and put it outside the booth, like for 5 minutes, it would freeze.
What year was that? I don't remember that. 2012 we went.
It might not have been 12.
It might have been before that.
But
okay.
I think the last time we were there when it was really cold at Lambeau. And, I mean, it was blistering cold.
Yeah. Well, I remember we went in 12 and it was like late November, early December, and it was 58 degrees or something. We got lucky that week.
Yeah, it was the year before, I think, that we were there, and it was so cold. Unbelievable, because I remember we were going there, I think it was a late game or something like that. It was a 4 o'clock game. We had to be there early for a television thing and bottled water freezing outside. I mean, and the fan base there is fantastic, and stadium upgrades are awesome, and, you know, it's pretty cool just because it's such a small town. You know, it's not a city. I mean, Green Bay is a town, you know. So, you know, I kind of joke about, you know, the food that's available at Green Bay. And look, I can eat anywhere. I don't have any problems eating anywhere else. But I mean, you're not going to go to Green Bay and, you know, expect to eat at a, you know, top-end restaurant. It doesn't have them, you know. But the food that you get there is very good. And the best part is it ain't expensive.
That's right. It's Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's good. It's all good.
Let's come back. We'll hit some high points around the National Football League. Some final thoughts ahead of the Jaguars and the Jets coming up this Sunday. And this is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. Jaguars Thursday. JP Shatter, Jeff Lagerman. Vaselli's out of here.
We did solve the food question. from Green Bay.
Okay.
And the restaurant that I was thinking of, it's, you know, Green Bay and Appleton, Wisconsin, are very close together, mm-hmm. especially when it comes to kind of a small town. And we stayed in Appleton that time. And at a Radisson Hotel there, there's a steakhouse called Lombardi's, which is the best steakhouse in Green Bay, Appleton area. So if anybody is ever in Green Bay, you know, checking out the sites, go to Vince Lombardi's. People up there call it Lombardi's Steakhouse, but it's actually called Vince Lombardi's Steakhouse.
Well, I figured they would narrow it down. There's only one.
Well, I mean, I don't want anybody get
steakhouse in Green Bay.
I don't want to get anybody confused. But it is very good.
If you're just passing through Green Bay, huh?
Well, look, I mean, a lot of people like to go summertime to Wisconsin, float down the Apple River, you know,
do
all
they?
That. Oh yeah, man, Wisconsin's a cool place in summer. Long as it doesn't have like record heat when we were up there in training camp in 1995.
It's extreme.
Woo!
Both ways sometimes.
Yeah. By the way, I'd love to go up there this time of year. About another 3-4 weeks, JP.
Take some ammunition with
you. Yeah.
Do a little work.
Yeah, Wisconsin's got some good deer.
I bet. Well, not for long if you get up there. So I also got to correct one thing on the picks. The Saints-Dolphins game is in London.
Yeah.
It's not in Miami.
It's a Dolphins home game.
But it's not their first. They haven't played a game in Miami yet.
No.
So since the hurricane and all that. So yeah, I don't think that's going to change our picks of the Saints.
No, not for me.
No.
Well, I think you should change your pick.
I think, no, I'm not going to say what I think right now.
Here's the one thing to remember, though. The Dolphins have been over there before.
Right.
Have the Saints been over there before?
Yes.
Okay.
It's been a while.
Recently.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
You don't know, do you?
I don't.
I just don't know. I have no idea.
I don't have any idea. So that's the London game this week, Saints-Dolphins.
Which is kind of the reason why, you know, when I went on my rant before the game last week about why, if this is a home game, why is there not a cat head at the 50?
Yeah, what was that about?
Because they've got this game this week.
Yeah,
you know,
so
it's back-to-back games.
About?
But I mean, I still think that
you took it a little personal,
if it's going to be a home game, it should have the Jaguars cat head logo in the middle of the field. And it should just be painted over with the NFL logo this week for the Saints and the Dolphins game. And in the end zones, look, if you can paint the Ravens and the Jaguars in the end zone, then you can change the paint in the middle of the field. And it should have said Ravens in one end zone.
Though they didn't play.
Should say Jacksonville in one end zone and then Jaguars in the other.
They didn't
Don't interrupt
those.
Me, JP. They I'm going on another one.
You are. They didn't paint either one of them. They put the outlines for TV.
I know that.
So what are you worried about?
Do the
outline, 44-7.
My point
is,
does
it matter what logos
you do the outline of Jacksonville in one end zone, and then you do Jaguars in the other end zone.
Do they have the Jets?
Which they will do next year because I got that done.
Oh, did you? Oh,
yes, I did.
Great, great.
So JP, remember next year when you see Jacksonville in one end zone and Jaguars in the other, you can go.
Thanks, Logs.
Logs got that done.
Got it.
Hey, way to go, Logs.
Way to go, Logs.
Yeah, there you go.
Got it done. Let's go around the National Football League, please. Starting off with Pro Football Talk today, reporting that a group of players and owners met with Commissioner Roger Goodell to discuss the issues around the national anthem. That was on Tuesday night. That included Jags owner Shad Khan from the report. A bunch of ideas shared, but nothing decided collectively. It sounds like the league will not have any collective, you got to do this way, for lack of a better term.
Yeah,
it's going to be a team-to-team issue.
Look, it's a hot topic. I believe in standing for the national anthem. I don't agree with what the president said, but I don't think that that's the time to do that. I think that everybody should stand for the national anthem. And I don't want to get going on that. I just had a rant, JP.
I was trying to get you going again.
And I don't need to go on another rant. I can tell you that, but I will say this. The players in the league are having a very strong reaction to that. And it will hurt the NFL, I believe,
sure.
in the weeks to come.
Yeah.
And it's, that's the reality, you know, and players have a right to express themselves. You know, the owners have a right to express themselves, and the fans have a right to express themselves as well.
We'll see where it goes in the next few days here, starting this Sunday. The first game of the week, of course, will be in London, the Saints and the Dolphins, and that'll set the tone for the rest of the day.
Yeah, and, you know, I think, JP, that, yeah. you know, there was a lot of people, I think, that felt very strongly that because it occurred on foreign soil –
that it, that people took even greater offense than maybe normally that they would. And I understand that standpoint.
We'll see what happens the next few days. The Jags get to go to New York this week. Let's go to football now. Colin,
please.
Yes, but a guy who's not involved in football but is kind of involved in this situation off to the side. Colin Kaepernick is not interested in the CFL, even after a call from the Montreal Alouettes. The Alouettes do have his rights if he decided to play in Canada.
Well,
he
shouldn't do that, you know, because at some point there's going to be an NFL team that gets an injury and they're gonna sign him. I think Colin Kaepernick is good enough to play in the National Football League. I don't think that we're talking about, you know, a guy whose skills have greatly diminished, but we're also not talking about Joe Namath, you know, or Tom Brady here.
Right.
You know, so let's not get carried away. But at the same token, let's also not underestimate that he's good enough to play in the league.
We'll say this. The Alouettes are in last place in the East Division of the CFL, by the way, at 3-10.
Yeah, that's not very good.
Not good.
They're 3-10. How many games do they play?
I think there's just probably a month's worth left.
Okay.
I believe.
Why would you want to go up there and risk, you know, not having the ability if somebody calls in the NFL? You wouldn't do that.
It's a real issue there. So he will not play. Ron Rivera, the Panthers head coach, is pledging $50,000 toward Puerto Rico hurricane relief. That has turned into a big issue down in Puerto Rico. But Ron Rivera
hammered,
leading the way today.
I mean, hammered. And look, kudos to him. I don't. Did you have Deshaun Watson on your thing there too?
No.
Ron Rivera gave a significant amount of money to Puerto Rico. I mean, they were just absolutely decimated from the hurricane. And kudos to him. Also to Deshaun Watson, who donated a game check to the hurricane victims.
Well, it was three ladies
in
the
cafeteria.
Which is unbelievable.
Which is pretty cool. You know, Deshaun Watson, I've always said this about him. I'm not a big fan of his, you know, of him as a quarterback, because I thought that he was a little overvalued in my mind. And I thought Patrick Mahomes was undervalued. But I've always respected the way that Deshaun Watson plays the game, and I've always respected to a high degree how he handles himself. Because, you know, that's not easy, you know, being the quarterback of a big-time college football program and maintaining that coolness, that level of respect. And I think the world of him as an individual, and this just goes to confirm what I thought about him. You know, kudos to Ron Rivera. Kudos to Deshaun Watson.
One final note, some former Jaguars in the news for the New York Giants. JT Thomas placed on injured reserve, the linebacker, but your guy. Cappy has made the active roster off the practice squad. He had 13 tackles in the preseason, 1.5 sacks, 8 quarterback hits for the Giants. He is on the active roster in New York for Big Blue.
Hey, he can rush the passer now. You know, he is an athlete, and Cappy kind of got into trouble when he had responsibilities, you know. But when you turn him loose on the quarterback, he's got some ability. I'm not saying that he's a 10 sack a year guy or anything, but he's got some ability.
It's not Strahan.
Oh, I mean, when he was here, he was grossly undersized.
Oh, sure.
You know, I mean, he was a college pass rusher who made weighed maybe 230 pounds soaking wet. You know, he needed to grow and into the job and into the role, but it'll be fun to watch him. You know, he probably will get some snaps. You know, so look, it's there's a lot of former Jaguar guys, and we're going to see a couple of them this week too.
Yeah, that's right.
Got a tight end,
Neil Sterling.
You also have, and you probably don't even remember this guy, Julian Stanford.
Stanford, yeah.
Do you remember him?
Yeah. He was like a back. He was almost a JT Thomas, same time frame, right? Like 2012.
Yeah, and Julian Stanford, very, very great athlete, and then his problem was kind of along with Cappy. He didn't do very good in the structured system. Hmm. You know, so it'll be good to watch those guys. And the most important one of all, Brant Boyer, one of the great all-time Jaguar players, is the special teams coordinator for the New York Jets, was the all-time leading special team tackler in Jaguars history until one Montel Owens ended up beating his number out. But Brant Boyer, it's going to be good to see him come Sunday.
Sunday, 1 o'clock, MetLife Stadium. We're on air at 10 o'clock with the tailgate show countdown to kickoff at noon. Jeff Lagerman, well done. We'll talk to you this weekend.
Well done, JP.
No, you're great.
Joe, hey, Joe,
you're great.
Well done, Joe.
You're great. Max Hoffman is great. Joe Fortunato is great. Jeff Lagerman is great. I'm JP.
Can we play
Jaguars Thursday.